Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Social distance fighting, or every fight we've ever seen in Major League Baseball or the NBA outside of Malice in the Palace. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamike, and a lot to get to, a lot happening right now. We're going to talk to Melvin Ingram from the Chargers in about 10 minutes here, check in on a season that the win-loss column I don't think really accurately expresses right now. We got top five, bottom five to get to today. Some news out of the NBA about their calendar year and why they may be losing one critical element of their calendar year at the perfect time in all of this. But, Jhené, all of that's got to wait right now because as we're getting ready to go live on this show, we are seeing news and seeing reporting our own Adam Rittenberger confirming on Twitter what he saw reported, I want to get this right, by Jay Talty from Alabama.com. The Alabama-LSU game has been postponed because of COVID-19 issues at LSU. Sources tell ESPN announcements expected soon. So, Jhené, this is just another example, another very high-profile example of something we've seen happening more and more frequently, really, in the last 2 weeks. College football games being postponed and now dealing with what the Pac-12 and the Big Ten might be knowing, unsure if they're going to be able to make these up as late as we are in the season.
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing also is the fact that, hey, we're watching the evolution of fines being heavier and stronger because they're recognizing whatever sport it is, whether it's college football or even potentially, you know, the NFL, these fines have to be heavier because this seems like this is not going away slash being in a contained manner with a number of positivities. And so this is a situation that I see, you know, between two schools where maybe it's okay in the sense that the college football playoff is determined by an eye test where missing a game may not hurt certain teams in a certain way. But I do think that for other leagues and other sports, that's not the same standard. And so maybe here, this is not a situation. This is a situation where you're missing out a game, but teams may not miss out on an opportunity. But those are things that need to be weighed because eventually, if this happens too much, opportunities also will be missed out on as well.
Yeah, Jhené, this becomes the interesting part of this discussion because we talked about the fine stuff that's going out. We've seen it in the NFL with the Raiders and how much money they've had to give away, the Steelers and Mike Tomlin being fined for not adhering to the protocol strictly enough. And we saw a renewed effort around the NFL front of that. And I think it's worth remembering and re-upping that if we talk about fines or punishment in these situations, especially when it comes to amateurs in college, because that's what we've dubbed them right now, is they need to be fines if there is violation in process or procedure, not for positives. Because unfortunately, playing college football in the middle of a pandemic is probably going to be something that was always going to net positives. You're not in a bubble, and so you can't perfectly avoid these things. And so if schools are going about life and they're doing, excuse me, if teams are going about life and operating and adhering to the strict protocols that are set forward for them, I would have a hard time looking and fining in these situations or punishing at all unless we find out that there's been some sort of mismanagement of that and that there's been massive violations of rules behind the scenes.
Exactly. I think, like you mentioned, the student athletes, they're dealing with a situation where they're trying to navigate a situation as best as they can. I think when it comes to trying to understand how severe these things are, it probably lies on the institutions, as you mentioned, the schools, where maybe the NCAA will have to step in eventually, or at least these conferences, and say, hey guys, like, we need to have these situations in place so we avoid looking like Notre Dame, so we avoid having a situation afterward, like we saw in MLB with Justin Turner. So I think this is a very important moment, an inflection moment, in the sense that we're seeing this happen throughout sports. Now, the sports that will succeed are the ones that address this moment right now.
Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're spending a lot of time right now on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, reminding you to be part of Jhené Golic Jr. Nation on that Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football season's heating up. Ugh. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you. Treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. They're going to need it because the news doesn't really get much better. The SEC's main Twitter account just tweeted news. The Alabama at LSU and Texas A&M at Tennessee football games on November 14th are postponed due to positive tests, contact tracing, and subsequent quarantine of individuals within the LSU and Texas A&M football program. So that is now a third on the weekend to add to the Auburn and Mississippi State game that was already postponed this upcoming weekend. So now three SEC games are down this weekend, Jhené, and it's wild to think about. Greg Sankey was just on yesterday with Paul Feinbaum on the Paul Feinbaum Show, where you can hear Paul every Monday through Friday. And he talked about in these instances what their plans are to tackle something like the schedule changes that might come up. Going to have to really go back and listen to this one now if you're Greg Sankey, because a lot more of this is starting to become reality.
We don't have an infinite amount of time to make up games. We'll talk to our athletics directors about circumstances that may not impact directly the division standings, the division championship in particular. Should we look more at December 19th, the day of our championship game for contests? That provides a little bit of adjustment flexibility. We've had games on our championship game day before, not much, but we're in a unique environment. The other reminder we provided, there was a Friday, I think 2 weeks ago, where we announced five or six scheduling adjustments, and we've been somewhat continuous in saying those adjustments are likely to be needed again, and we won't change opponents, but we may change dates. And so you're going to have the same date and site, but we may have to adjust. Excuse me, we're going to have the same site, same opponent, but we may have to adjust dates to make things fit. And that's part of the challenge. Again, we don't control what's happening around us with this virus. We have to react. And part of the ability to plan is what we've done by building in time. But then you have to acknowledge that there's reactions, because I can't tell you when disruption might occur or what competitions it may affect.
Chenang Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Again, everybody just getting caught up right now. The Alabama-LSU game is postponed due to COVID-19 cases traced back to the LSU football team. The Auburn and Mississippi State game was already postponed, and now the Tennessee-Texas A&M game is postponed after positive cases going back to, I believe it was Texas A&M, in this spot. And so, Janae, looking at this now, Greg Sankey talking about scheduling down the road, this is where the rubber does start to meet the road. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee is supposed to do their selections for the playoff December 20th, and that's already a date that's been moved back. We know a lot of these conferences dealt with sort of flex dates around their title games. The SEC has landed on December 19th as the date for its SEC championship game. And so now these teams are going to find that if you don't have common dates left, as we're already into November and nearing the finish line on all this, it's going to be very difficult to make a lot of these up. And we're going to get the uneven look in the committee relying further and further on the eye test in a season where these games might not get made up because of that down the stretch. A very uneven playing field, one that we kind of broached in Major League Baseball when we thought we might have to go by win percentage, and one that certainly looks like it's going to be tested even more down the stretch right now after a day that includes three postponements of games right now for the SEC.
And this is where I say, like, everyone's taking notes, because we talk about win percentage in baseball. That's something that was talked about, you know, Adam Schefter came on, you know, way, way back then, a couple weeks ago, possibly even months, saying that win percentage is a possibility in the NFL if, you know, the situation with the positive cases keeps going up. And so now we're looking at a situation also in college football where this could be a reality. I just wonder, you know, now it is a really difficult situation to manage playing outside of a bubble with so many personnel, and the way that the game is played also makes it tough. Is there going to be any change on these conferences through the leadership to try to at least contain this any better moving forward? I'm looking forward to finding out that soon.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I saw a number of people pointing out on Twitter the other day that we're about 10 days removed from Halloween weekend, and you can imagine what goes on in a college campus on things like Halloween weekend. So many people focused on the aftermath of the Notre Dame-Clemson game this Saturday night, but we know plenty of proximity can happen around holiday weekends like that on college campuses. I just saw Nicole Arbach from The Athletic tweeted a note from the SEC. Because LSU has a game tentatively scheduled for December 12th, the opportunity to reschedule the Alabama at LSU game will need to be evaluated. The scheduling of games on the remaining SEC football schedule may include December 19th as a playing date, something that we know we're going to see and talk about in the Big Ten, who, in addition to having the conference championship game played that day, is also going to have everyone match up seeding-wise throughout that conference to play a day game on that conference championship weekend. So the idea being floated potentially of playing other games on that conference championship weekend for the SEC. Lots more to get to with this as information pours in. Three games in the SEC now postponed this upcoming college football weekend. We will keep people abreast of information as it becomes available to us. But coming up next, we're going to head to Sundays in the NFL. One of the best young quarterbacks in the league doesn't have the wins to quite back up what we've seen so far on the field. What's he looked like in person and behind the scenes? We'll ask our next guest. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Lots of news today in the world of college football. Postponements in the SEC. Now three games this weekend put on the back burner due to COVID-19 cases. Plenty more to get to as we get updates on that information. Our top five, bottom five in the NFL coming up next as well. Chinay going to get you caught up on the top five things we saw this weekend. It is Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Ngolick Jr., Chinay Ngumuke. You can also check us out on ESPN Plus. But if we're talking about the NFL, why don't we go to someone who's still currently in a locker room and doing big things on the field? We're delighted now to be joined by Los Angeles Chargers defensive end Melvin Ingram with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Melvin, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing great, man. No complaints. And I know it's been an interesting season in a lot of ways for you guys. You know, you started off on Hard Knocks in the middle of a global pandemic. And for you, I'm curious, you came into the league in 2012. You've been a part of a Chargers team that for so long was led by a veteran quarterback in Phillip Rivers. And now you've got a young player in Justin Herbert who's been thrust into the spotlight and has done incredibly well. What's he been like behind closed doors for you guys in the locker room, Melvin?
No, he's been great. He's just been a kid that's been eager to learn and eager to get better. So when you see that, it's amazing, actually. Like, he's a hard worker. He's there early, and he leaves late every day. And he just want to be good. And you can tell by the way he practices and by the way he go about the games.
Here with Melvin Ingram, three-time Pro Bowler and defensive end for the Los Angeles Chargers here on Chinay Ngolick Jr. Now, when did you actually know that Justin Herbert is different, even though he's a rookie?
I don't really know if he's different. I just know he's special. I wouldn't say he's different. I would say he's special.
Did you have a moment where you discovered like his special talents? Because it's got to be different when you, or at least special when, you know, you're starting game two of the season and you find that out 30 minutes before the kickoff. How was that, you know, transition for him, and how has he been special so far?
Nah, he's been special before that moment, like just all through camp and all through that. You see the way he go about his work and the way he works. And then in practice, you see him make throws that's special throws. And you know, like, he got a chance to have a bright future in this league. And the way he go about it, I feel like this guy's the limit for him.
Talking to Melvin Ingram with us here, Chargers defensive end on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And we got a chance to see some of that. Again, I mentioned you guys were on Hard Knocks. We saw inside your training camp and saw so many of the differences that come with playing football in the middle of a pandemic right now. For you guys, what's it been like on the day-to-day since you've gotten to the season and had to try and balance so many things just to get to the field and play?
It's been cool, actually. It's been normal days. It's just you just doing with a mask and COVID test in the beginning. But it's been normal days. It's like, it ain't nothing too out of the ordinary. Like, we ain't just doing all this crazy stuff.
Now, you know, your locker room, you know, you guys have really stayed together through a couple of tough, you know, last-minute losses. How have you guys been able to keep the positivity moving forward and also the work?
It's just the character that we built throughout this team, like, just from camp and all that stuff. We've been grinding together. So no matter how high you get, how low you get, you got to always stick together. So that's the mentality we always had. We in this together. We signed up for all 16, no matter how it go.
And I'd imagine that starts up top. What's the message been like from Anthony Lynn each and every week? Again, managing so much transition, managing all this. What's his message been to you guys here week in and week out?
Just stay a course. No matter how it go, keep fighting. Because we know we have a special team. We know a play here, a play there, and this whole season could be different right now. So no matter how it's going, we got to always know we set out to accomplish some things, and right now everything we want to accomplish is still in front of us.
Here with Melvin Ingram, defensive end for the Chargers, here with us on Chinay Ngolick Jr. Now, Melvin, I play with my sister on the Los Angeles Sparks, and it's nice to know you have someone with you there in the trenches. You play with Joey Bosa, and you both made the Pro Bowl last year. How comforting is it to have a guy like that that's so talented out there with you?
No, it's always good. It's always good. Joy's a great defensive end. So it's always good to have somebody like that on the opposite side of you, because teams don't know who to double or where to send the protection. So it's always good. It's always good for sure.
Melvin, we know you're here on behalf of a pretty cool opportunity. Can you tell us who you're here with?
Say that again.
I said we know you're here on behalf of someone pretty interesting. So why don't you tell us about who you're here with?
The Slingshot.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, man. The Slingshot it's amazing, man. Like, that's one of my favorite cars. Like, and you got to understand, being in California with no top on the car, riding down the highway, the road, wherever, it's amazing. And the Slingshot is an odd term, man. So people always going to look, no matter where you at. I don't care where you go, people are going to look. And the Slingshot, it's a statement ride, man. When you pull up, people are like, okay, let me see who this is that's going to get out of here. So it's amazing, man. I love Slingshot.
It sounds incredible. It sounds like a hell of a visual, and it makes me really sad that I'm in Connecticut and not California. So, Melvin, we appreciate the time and the insight, man. Best of luck the rest of this season, all right?
All right, thank you.
Melvin Ingram with us here on the show, Pennzoil Performance. I tell you what, he's a hell of a salesman. He's got me interested.
I know. I'm in California, too, in Los Angeles specifically. So I'm like, you know what? It is a vibe when you're able to just cruise, and the weather does permit it, unfortunately, compared to everywhere else. So I'm sorry.
Listen, I know what you're talking about. It's 70 degrees and sunny in Connecticut
today. Oh, is
today.
It? Lovely.
We are out here stealing for some reason in all of this. But, Janae, he mentioned Justin Herbert in all of this, and I think it's been interesting to watch him develop without having the benefit of those wins, right? And I think him and Joe Burrow are kind of both dealing with the same problem here, where, and you know this as an athlete, getting results early when you're being talked about a process, when you're buying into a process and seeing the tangible results of that come out in the wins and the loss column is a huge part of early development. And so for Anthony Lynn to be able to guide this group, for them to stay the course, and for Justin Herbert to kind of stack great weeks together one after the other, it is an indication of what Melvin was talking about there, the strength and the leadership of that locker room.
Absolutely. And if you got anything from what he said, it's that they have a good temperament, like talking about California, a chill temperament, in the sense that, okay, we're not going to make this loss feel too heavy. Instead, we're going to learn from it. And I think that's what really helps a young rookie quarterback. Again, I say, like, the hardest thing for me transitioning from going from college to now the pros, where, let me tell you, I think we won like maybe 6 out of 30 games, if that, and like we strung together 5 wins at the like last 5 or 7 games where they're benching all their starters. That was hard for me. I was crying after every loss. And I tell you, I'm a thug. I only shed thug tears. So for them to still have the positivity and also just the trust, he said trust a lot, the trust in one another, you can see why they really believe in him despite the outcomes.
Not to be confused with trust, which is an entirely different process.
Yeah, trust with a T.
With a T in this one. All right, well, they haven't been able to perform up to the level necessarily that'll probably land them in the top five. But after the weekend that was, who did find their way into Chiney's top five? We will get to that next after this word from AT&T.
Now, there are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you're a professional race car driver and base jump wingsuit enthusiast. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's fast. Now, maybe you're a bodyguard or possibly Mike Golic Jr. on a dating app. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's secure. It's a safe choice. Or maybe you're a librarian and haven't missed a day of work in 27 years. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because it's reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable. And now also nationwide. AT&T 5G, it's not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, back after this.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A lot of people think the offseason is usually the best part of the NBA calendar year. It tends to be where we get most of the drama. We used to do General Hoopspital in the morning show, kind of get everyone caught and updated on that. The NBA might miss out on that this year, and coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll tell you why that is the best possible outcome for this year's free agency. It's Chiney Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumike here. And Chiney, we got the Masters coming up this week too, as we get ready for NFL, what's left of the college football weekend, as we've got 3 postponements in that right now coming out of the SEC. Scale of 1 to 10, like, where's your excitement for the Masters? We know Tiger won it last year. Everyone's hopeful this year. Like, is this something that you're really jacked up for right now?
I would say probably on a scale of 1 to 10, probably an 8. Just because last year delivered so much that I don't want to come in at a 10, what made it better was that I came in lower and then was over exceeded when it came to the, you know, outcome. So I'm coming in at an 8. What's your take?
I think I'm right around in that range because cautious optimism was always been my approach to Tiger Woods coming back from injury. And then you're right, it delivered in such a big time moment. But now we're seeing people actually at Augusta. John Rahm hits a hole in one today, skipping the ball off the water. You get the Masters Club dinner. Tiger Woods out here going the fajita route here and a classic flan for dessert, which I'm sure our own Amin El-Hassan greatly appreciates. But Devin, you went so far as to say that if push comes to shove and Tiger's in contention this Sunday, you're ditching football. You're serious about that.
100%. If I have to watch one screen, if Tiger's in contention, I don't care about football in that moment. This is once a year. Tiger is only going to be able to contend at the Masters most likely because he knows that course so well. It's fall in Augusta. The fall foliage will be out. Are you kidding me? The vibes.
That is true.
I have to agree. I'm with Dev.
Major league vibes, some leaf peeping going on there at Augusta. Going to be pretty incredible. At Chiné, at Mike Golic Jr. Tiger on Sunday at the Masters or the full NFL Sunday slate of games. You can only pick one, at Chiné, at Mike Golic Jr. But before we get to this Sunday slate of games, we got to finally put a bow on last Sunday's slate of games. It is Tuesday around these parts, and that means time for top five, bottom five.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
Let's get it, ladies and gentlemen. Your girl is here. The glass is half full. We are going optimist here. The best things that happened in the NFL this week. Let's start with number 5.
Number 5.
Junior, will the new MVP frontrunner please stand up? Please stand up. I'm going in your favorite rapper, Eminem. I'm just making a big assumption.
Wow.
Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, they just keep rolling because I feel like if you're going to write record books, use pencil right now because he keeps rewriting it. He became the fastest player in NFL history to reach 100 touchdown passes through just 40 games. And through these 40 games, Mahomes has the most passing yards, over 12,000, most passing touchdowns, and highest passer rating. So what we're seeing right now, a lot of people I saw earlier on First Take, Brett Favre, they were asking the question, is he already going to be one of the all-time greats? I feel like we see the trajectory, but now it's sort of put some respect on his name as he's doing this in a variety of fashions this season so far.
I have two words and one sound for you right now.
What is it?
Bark, bark. Unbelievable, the slander out here. But you are right. Patrick Mahomes is on that deadly trajectory. It's amazing, by the way, how quickly we flip the script week to week on, A, who's the best team in the NFC, which is a different conversation, but also who's the MVP. We had Russell Wilson with it in the bag halfway through the season, and Patrick Mahomes throws for basically 1,000 yards in two games. I'm with you. You're not wrong anyway.
Okay, the good thing is that, hey, you know, it's still a lot of room for Russell Wilson, okay?
Truth.
There's still room. Let's go next.
Number 4.
So speaking of Sunday in that slate, what I enjoyed the most, surprisingly, was actually the matchup between Kyler Murray and also Tua Tagovailoa. And, you know, I was trying to go back into the archives a couple years ago. I think it was 2018, the Orange Bowl. When their two college teams met, Kyler and Tua combined for 744 total yards, 7 TDs, and no turnovers. Now, in their first matchup, Kyler and Tua combined for 672 yards, 6 TDs, and 1 turnover. So, to me, it was really fun to see young guys really having the opportunity of now. You're seeing a lot of athletes in the big scheme of things not waiting for them to be handed the keys. They take the keys and they run with it.
It's really been impressive, and I think you push this especially towards the side of Tua Tagovailoa. Kyler Murray came into this year as a dark horse MVP candidate in a lot of people's eyes. Had his first 100-yard rushing outing this weekend against a very good Miami defense. But seeing Tua after a game one where people were already ready to give Trevor Lawrence to the Miami Dolphins potentially go out there and shine in game two, that was pretty cool for him.
Agreed. On to number 3, Trace.
Number 3.
All right, this one, I'm happy for him just because he makes the top 5, but I'm really mad because the last 2 weeks, he's the reason why I've lost in fantasy. Dalvin Cook, okay? He's keeping Minnesota alive single-handedly. The last 2 weeks, Minnesota and this star player, 478 yards from scrimmage and scored 6 TDs. Again, I say once like this guy is averaging like 30 plus points on fantasy, and every time I'm playing against someone who has him on the squad.
It's remarkable, and I say that as somebody who does have him on one of my squads and does wake up smiling every Sunday because of that. Janae, it's so incredible. Mike Zimmer has got to be somewhere smiling ear to ear in a dark room watching this over and over, because all he wants is to go out there and do the obvious thing and for you to not be able to stop it. And for the last few weeks especially, that obvious thing has just been hand Dalvin Cook the ball and watch him cook.
I mean, that's the best way.
Bad pun. I'm sorry.
Watch Dalvin Cook cook. Out. We got to just keep on moving. No, we can't co-sign that. Sorry. Number two.
Save me.
This
from
is my favorite one. Just because we saw a guy who has skills like you can stay on beat. Shout out to the New Orleans Saints. Shout out to Coach Sean Payton dancing in the locker room afterward. You know, obviously you get the win first. 12 different Saints players caught a pass on Sunday. Brady, 5 of his 7 interceptions are by the Saints. They have, I don't know if it's the Bucs or Brady, but a combination of the two, their number. So much so that, guess what? The number was on point. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. He was on point. He was on rhythm, and I love seeing that video afterward.
He was on point. I'm just glad the number for the Patriots wasn't a confused 4 again from Tom Brady in that situation, although the entirety of the game looked a lot like that last drive for the Bucs and Tom Brady. Rough.
From 4 to 3 to 2 to...
Number 1.
This one here, number one, it belongs to Christine Lisi. I'm going to give it to her because her Bills are riding high. We approve of this, right? Because, you know, I was the one who put Josh Allen early in the friend zone. Now he's absolutely in the end zone. This is for you, Christine, the queen, because, you know, in his last game versus the Seahawks, he started hot, completing 20 of 24 passes for 282 yards, 3 scores in the first half, the best half of football he's played since entering the league in 2018. So we have to put respect on this man's name, but more importantly, put a crown on her head because she's really single-handedly carrying the Bills to success.
Christine Lisi, whose rise to stardom here, our SportsCenter anchor extraordinaire. You've seen her and watched her and heard her on the Dan Le Batard Show each and every week here. She has carried this department with baked goods for years. And Christine, now you finally, what does it feel like living
number
in a
one.
Buffalo Bills season with this much hope and promise? It's had to have been incredible to watch right now, and you have certainly passed on that joy to all of us in the form of baked goods.
And what's even better is for some reason we got the Sunday ticket free this year.
Oh, there we go.
That sucks you in, though. Like, they are doing a good job of making me seriously consider getting it next year, because that, as you guys know, is like crack.
That is mana from heaven at this point.
As we're
Christine.
Watching the Bills, all I'm watching the bottom line, and my husband keeps going, Steelers, Ravens. I'm like, don't turn the channel. You can turn it at 4 o'clock. Not until then.
We have strict rules in the household when it comes to Christine Lisi and watching the Buffalo Bills, and for good
reason. She's our number one
reason.
This week.
She is our number. She's our number one every week.
Every week.
And thankfully, the Bills are finally giving Christine Lisi the performance that she deserves
Absolutely. This
season. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We had the top 5 from Chinee there. I'll get us caught up on the bottom 5 in just a little bit. But coming up next, we do have to look into the NBA has set a date for the start of free agency. What can we actually expect, and how this all just points back at Milwaukee already? We'll get to that after this word from ButcherBox. No one likes to actually go to the grocery store, especially not as we're getting closer to the holidays. That's why ButcherBox is here. ButcherBox ships high-quality meat conveniently right to your door. From free-range organic chicken to heritage-bred pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops. ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat to choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. I got pork chops waiting for me at home right now. I am about to go in after this Tuesday night action, and y'all are going to see this. It's probably going to make its way to Instagram because I'm nice like that. ButcherBox, holding it down for everyone that doesn't want to leave their home to go to the grocery store. And for a limited time, ButcherBox is knocking a big to-do off your holiday shopping trip by giving you a free Thanksgiving turkey in your first box when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/CJR. That's ButcherBox.com/CJR. Back after this, Chinee and Golic Jr.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. In a little bit, we'll get back to the news out of college football today. Again, multiple postponements coming out of the Southeastern Conference. We'll talk to Peter Burns, who you hear covering college football for the SEC Network. You hear him on Best Week Ever, Sunday morning, 7 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio with Katie George. Get his reaction to what we're seeing out of that conference right now and how confident we are that we're still going to make it to the finish line of what's been a season unlike any other. But before we do that, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Chinay, we got news out of the NBA, so we know now the start time for the NBA season is going to be December 22nd. Getting started before Christmas, something that mattered a lot for financial reasons to the NBA, and they made it happen. NBA free agency is set to start on November 20th, coming up later this month, Janae. And we look so often at the NBA offseason calendar in a normal year, and free agency is maybe the icing on top of the cake. It is one of the most exciting times of years. All the rumor mills and the drama, the soap opera of the NBA comes to fruition during that time of year. With the free agent class we have this year, Chinay, it feels probably like this is the best outcome, shortening this up and having it sandwiched between the late end of a season that ended with a Lakers title and the start of a season where we might get the defense of that and get to look towards Giannis' free agency next summer.
Pretty much, yeah, for sure. That's how it's probably trending at this point, just because I feel like last season and this season blurred together. And if you're watching us on ESPN Plus, which we are there now, you saw a clip of Fred VanVleet, who is probably one of the most notable people available for free agency, along with Anthony Davis, likely to return, Brandon Ingram, most improved player last season, likely to return to the Pelicans, along with Danilo Gallinari, DeMar DeRozan, and Montrezl Harrell. So the energy that those guys sort of, their names bringing up, like, it's not the same energy we had when there was a Kevin Durant or possibly next season a Giannis Antetokounmpo, which means you're right. If there is one season for them to go quickly from point A to point B, it's this season. And I really think the mentality that, you know, a lot of these players and a lot of these teams are going to have is not necessarily we need to remold right now or try to figure out exactly what we need to do. It's more so, what did we take from our experience in the bubble or not getting to the bubble, and how can we improve upon that based on the situation we're about to step into? And so I feel like this is a free agency class that can sort of eke through and help you navigate that change. It's not necessarily a free agency class that you're like, oh, that person is going to get us a championship.
Yeah, it's very interesting, Chinay, looking at this, because you're right. They're not going to be the difference makers. This isn't a summer where we're going to see a swing of someone who's all of a sudden going to lift a team from obscurity. But we do know the name that's hanging in the balance going into this season. This was interesting, and I saw Zach Lowe bring this up in an article he wrote on .com, that Giannis, there's a lot of people inside the Bucks organization that still think he's going to sign that $230 million Supermax extension. But with the Supermax and with this quick turnaround, one thing to keep in mind is he can't sign it once the season starts. So you've got an even shorter window right now.
Yep.
Where we know this has been the case for a while, and we know they had an earlier exit than anticipated. But Chinay, how nervous should the Bucks be, and what should their approach be to this offseason? Is there anyone hanging in the balance out here of these free agents that you think can be the difference for this Bucks team? Because we know it all rides on this season potentially.
The Bucks are probably as nervous as you were watching the kickoff of ND Clemson. Okay.
Oh, wow.
It's real in the sense that this is a guy who a lot of people are talking about. And, you know, if we're going to make that comparison, Trevor Lawrence, generational talent, that's what you've got with Giannis Antetokounmpo, who went from being most improved player to now two-time most valuable player. Also defensive player of the year. This is a game changer, not just for the Bucks, but can you imagine a Giannis Antetokounmpo free agency? Like, that's going to be nuts, because that will tip the balance towards any team. Because what he's been able to do, obviously, you know, their playoff struggles, especially early on, have been noted and absolutely notable. But if he's on a team with another star, because what he's played with is Chris Middleton, who has emerged this past season or the season before, I can't even remember, the blur together, as an all-star this past season. Yes, we had all-star earlier in February. I was there. I remember. Yeah, today. He was an all-star this year. That's not like an ability to go and tag team with another top certified star that can actually sort of tilt the balance. Like, he is the ultimate game changer. So you're right. Right now, he has the ability to sign a super max contract, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And if he does that, that ties him to Milwaukee. But you know what's the hardest time to make that decision? It's twofold. It's what we're seeing right now, a short runway for him to make that decision before the next season. And then on top of it, now you have the situation in the landscape of the NBA. You make that decision, you could tilt the balance for the future of the entire league too, based on who you choose to go to. So yeah, we're looking at a situation where the time is running out. And the future of the NBA could really be different in the matter of 9 or so months.
And if you're looking for this season to maybe be the one that wins it over, if he doesn't sign it, if he's like a lot of us would be, where you've got a limited window to make this decision and you kick it down the road because you want more info, is this the season where Kevin Durant and Kyrie are coming back in that Eastern Conference and the road doesn't look as easy as it even was for you in all of this? Or does everything about the uncertainty of the future financially actually swing in favor of the Milwaukee Bucks and you make a move and baby say, I want to get this money while I know it's still here? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. A lot hanging in the balance of the future there that's going to have to take place in very little time. But we know a lot taking place in the world of college football right now. Postponements in the SEC coming up this weekend. Do we think they'll be able to move dates around? Should the college football playoff committee move dates around? We'll get to that next.